let's join the worship center at Life Church, where the service is already in progress.
In a series this morning on awakening and how God wants us to wake up and get up, realize the time that we live in, and be aware of what God is doing in the last days. We've been talking about how God's pouring out His Spirit on the earth and shaking the earth once more, and we're on the edge of a great revival. And we need to wake up to that fact and get on board with God's will and His way of doing things. And so we've been talking about our vision and how God has a vision and a purpose for our life. We've talked about passion, living a life excited about the things of God. Not just living just an average life, but waking up and realizing that God wants more than autopilot for us. He wants more than just the average life. He's called us to something higher. And so we talked about living in excellence. Like my dad always used to say, not slot bopping. Doing things to the very best of your ability. And we talked about how, last week we talked about how we had to get our butts out of the way, our excuses, what holds us back, what keeps us from pressing forward and doing those things that God has called us to do. And this morning, I want to talk to us about the realization that we can't have it all, but we can have all that God has for us. And it's really a life of contentment. And if you've been around our house this week in conversations that I have with my husband, you would think that this was just something decided real quick. But God's been putting this message for today on my heart for the past month to speak with us this Sunday about it. And I want to tell you that if y'all don't get anything out of this, you can just sit there and nod and smile and look cute, because you all do this morning. But this is definitely for me this week. And so I hope that you get something out of it. But God definitely spoke to me this week in this message and in what we're talking about. So if this isn't for you, just smile there, look cute like you are, and say, thank God I was here. But this is something that I'm definitely striving towards. I'm definitely working on. And I hope that you are too. Not bankrupting our life. Remember, when we're awakening, when we're waking up to the things of God, we're realizing that there is a best that God has for us. And we don't need to get settled in the good, because a lot of good things that we do aren't really God things. And so it's about discerning and figuring out what God's best for our life is. And realizing that we can't have it all, but there are things that God has for us. Now you're like, you can't have it all. That's not what everybody else says. But remember, we don't live by the world's mentality. And when I explain this morning, you're going to get me, and you're going to be nodding your head yes by the end of it. So our theme is, we've been talking about waking up. Ephesians 4, or 5, 14 through 16 says, therefore he says, awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine and make dawn upon you and give you light. Look carefully how you walk. Remember, we're to walk on purpose, live purposefully and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people. So God wants us to be wise, sensible, intelligent people, and only a life awakened and tuned into the Holy Spirit is going to bring that. Because that's how we discern what God's best for us is. Remember, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit, like getting in line with Him, like those in the old days when you tuned in on the FM dial. And how when you get tuned into the right spot, there's no static. You can hear clearly. You can see exactly what God is telling you to do. And so when we're getting tuned into the Spirit, when we're wakening up, when we're realizing what God has for us, we're tuning in like that dial to get a clear picture of what the Holy Spirit is saying. Making the most of our time, buying up each opportunity, because the days are evil. So, I've about decided that movies have ruined us. Especially us ladies in our chick flicks. Movies have ruined us. We think that everything has to be wrapped up in life in a 2 to 3 hour package. And that all the conflicts are supposed to resolve themselves instantly. And by the end of the 2 or 3 hour experience, everybody's riding off into the sunset, living happily ever after. But in the real life, in the real mess of everyday living, things don't wrap up in 2 hours. And so we have to learn to live in those uncomfortable moments where things aren't going according to our plan. And when we're living in those uncomfortable moments, we have to live a content life. We've been told that we can be Superman or Superwoman and have it all, do it all, be it all, take our kids to every single thing going, you know. But really, we add more and more and more and more to our schedule. We feel like we don't work enough, we don't do enough, we're being enough. And then we look at everybody else's life and we wish that we had together like them. Man, if life were like Facebook posts, everything on Facebook, unless you have people that post all their laundry on there, but most everything on Facebook is all the highlights, all the good moments. And so we judge our life by everybody else's Facebook status. And we start getting discontent with our life because we look at everybody else's highlights and we see everything that hasn't been happening or hasn't been done in our own life. God doesn't want us to judge our life by other people's. You can't keep up with the Joneses. The Joneses aren't even keeping up with the Joneses. And so we look at everybody's life, wish we had it together like them, so we strive harder to be more, buy more, do more, get more. And at the end of the day, we're no better off for it. We must realize that we can't have it all according to the world's standards. Because remember, God hasn't called us to live by the world. He's called us to live by the Word of God. And when we try to compare our life to other people, when we try to judge our life based on what we see happening in others' lives, then we begin to get discontent. And we begin to get in a miserable state of mind where we just wonder, why isn't anything like that happening for us? We get worn out and exhausted because we take on too many good things, we lose sight of the God things. I want to read Matthew 11:27-30 out of the Message Bible. It's going to look a little bit different than what you see. In the Message Bible, it says, Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. He had just been rebuking them, but now he wants to take a teachable moment. And he says, the Father has given me all these things to do and say. This is a unique Father-Son operation, coming out of the Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does. But I'm not keeping this all to myself. I'm ready to give it over to you line by line with anyone willing to listen. So Jesus is saying, you know, God has taught me all things. Now I'm ready to teach you. I'm ready to give you my instruction line upon line if you're willing to listen. And then he says something very important in the next verse. He says, are you tired? See if you identify with this as we read through it. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burnt out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. So I want to ask you this morning, are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burnt out on religion? It's time to come to God. It's time to get a realization of a true relationship with God. Remember, we've been talking about how we don't do things out of obligation. And religion says you're obligated to do this and you're obligated to do that. And you got to do this and you got to do that. Relationship says, because I love God, because I want a deep, intimate relationship with Him, then I do. And so when we use that mindset, when we yoke up with him. The King James Version of this verse talks about taking on his yoke. And we talked about how when we yoke up two animals together, they got to learn to work together. And that's what God is saying. Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Something that I've been working on, if we're going to have a content life, then we have to get back to the principles of God. And remember, God set up in his original design in the days of creation a real rest. He took the Sabbath and he did nothing. He rested. I think in the day that we live in, the reason we're so frustrated and so overwhelmed with all the stuff in life and we don't seem to have time to fit God into our schedule is because we don't know how to take a real rest. And God is calling us back to his ways of doing things. In rest, you'll find contentment. It is hard for me to rest. I tried to rest yesterday, and I accidentally made a pot of vegetable soup, a big 9x13 cookie, and some taco queso dip. It's more rest than usual, but I'm learning how to rest. And we need to learn how to rest in God. Take a real rest with him. Get alone with him. Come away with him, and you'll recover life. Those of you who are married, and you have that little quick weekend getaway sometimes, how much better do you feel when you come back from that? How much more restored do you feel when you come back from that? You're ready to take on the kids. You're ready to take on work. You're ready to take on, organizing the garage, help us, Jesus. Why? Because you found a real rest. You got away with one another. You reconnected. You got your relationship back on track. Because the everyday schedules of our life tend to pull apart our marriage relationships. And remember, the Bible depicts us in a marriage with God. We are the bride of Christ. Over and over, the Bible says you're the bride of Christ. And so in that, God is calling us to come away with him to find refreshment, to be renewed. And we're only going to find that in that alone, intimate time with him. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. I found that in teaching kids and in teaching other people, the best way to teach is to do it together. That's the best way to teach. Do it together. You can give them a textbook all day long, and they can read about how, you could give me a textbook about how to build the engine on our truck. You wouldn't want to, but you could. And I could read it, and I could understand, and I could have all the thought process of how to do it. But I wouldn't want you to let me loose with the tools on the truck. Because goodness knows what I would do. I would have the heater hooked up to the gas tank, I don't know, the oil in the radiator. But if you sit down and show me how to do it, I'll pick it up real quick. And I'm sure you're the same way. I can explain to you, okay, we're going to go do this, 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 and this, and this. And then your head's spinning like, which do I do first? But if I walk with you and show you how to do it, and I join up with you, and I give you example, then it's a lot easier. We get burnt out, we get worn out, we get tired, we get discontent because we're trying to live a life for God, apart from God. And we're trying to live for him, but we don't spend time with him. And then we get discontent, and we struggle, and we wonder why things are just hard. And when is it going to get better? That's the reason we get worn out. Because we try to live a life for God apart from him. And what does the Bible say? Apart from me, you can do nothing. He says, take my yoke. Join up with me. Hook up with me. plug into me. We can have lights all day long, but until they're plugged into the electricity, ain't nothing gonna happen. And we've got to plug in to the current of God, the flow of God, if we want things to begin to happen in our life. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Remember, grace is not an excuse for a sloppy life. Grace is God's ability mixed with our ability to get things done. His favor, his ability for us to be able to do things his way, in his will, in his time. So again, he's telling us in this verse of scripture, quit fighting me. Flow with me. Those of you who have children, I only have experience with the school, and that kind of makes me feel like I have children. It's a lot easier if they're flowing with you instead of fighting with you. When they fight with you, the whole house gets out of whack. But if they're flowing with you, then things are a lot easier and they go together and it just all clicks. And God is calling us to flow with him, to get in his rhythm, to line ourselves up with him. He says, I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. You know, when we pray to God, a lot of times we say, Lord, you said you wouldn't give me more than I could bear. And why? I just don't feel like I can bear this. But many times it's because we put up on ourselves more than we can bear. We've added to, in our life, things that God never intended us to add. And so we've got to learn to do the God things, not just the good things. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. The Word of God instructs us on what activities are in line with his will for his people. But the Word of God also tells us what approach that we need to have to life. How we approach something matters. The attitude that we walk into a situation with matters. I don't know about you, but when I get up and I get ready to come over here to work, if I have a bad attitude, it affects my whole day. My entire day is just one crazy thing after another. Why? Because I didn't line my attitude up with the Word of God when I woke up that morning. I decided, well, I'm just going to get up on the wrong side of the bed. I don't care. Our approach matters. If we feel obligated to do something, we're not going to do it to the best of our ability. But if we do it out of a genuine love and desire and a relationship with God, then we approach life correctly. If the activity we're considering is in line with God's word, if our approach isn't, we'll overdraw ourselves and bankrupt our lives. That's how we get worn out. That's how we get exhausted. That's how we get discontented with life. Because our approach is wrong. If you put $100 in your banking account and that's the balance on it, you can't go to Walmart and spend $500. You go to swipe your little card and it says, declined. Or it gives you an overdraft fee and penalizes you and says, hey, you weren't supposed to do that. Here's all your punishments. We bankrupt our lives. We keep trying to pull and pull and pull and pull, and we never fill back up. We never get that river of living water because we draw on our life and we let stuff pour out and we let our life be spent and spent and spent, but we never refresh it with God. We never get in a life of contentment because we're always bankrupt. We're always running on empty. God has not called us to do that. A good approach to something requires enough resources to handle the demands. Everything in life is going to demand something physically, financially, spiritually, and emotionally. And we need to ask ourselves, can I take on this activity? Can I be involved in this without it bankrupting my life? Because that's how we get dissatisfied with life. That's how we get discontent. Because we're doing things outside of the will of God, and they're good things. They're not evil. They're not sin. But we do so many good things that we can't get that one God thing that He has for us. So I encourage you to realize that if we're willing to let go of this mentality that we can have it all, and we put God's kingdom first, His will, His way, His thinking, then the Bible says He'll add everything to us. He'll supply our needs. He'll be there with us. He'll walk up there. He'll walk this out with us. I've been so guilty of this. It's called when-then thinking. And have you ever thought about this in your life? Well, when I get this promotion, then I'll finally be happy. When I get the kids graduated, then I'll finally be able to be happy. When my husband starts taking out the trash, and I'm not speaking about my husband, I'm hypothetically speaking. When my husband takes out the trash, then I'll finally be happy because I won't have to smell that stinky mess that I cooked the other night. When my kids respect me, then I'll finally be happy. We tell ourselves this stuff all the time. If my wife would just be quiet when I get home and not just keep running her mouth over and over about the same thing and telling me the same story over and over and over again, then I'll be happy. If I could watch this TV show in peace and find out what happened to them, if they ever got off the island, then I'll be happy. We say this stuff to ourselves all the time. When this happens, then I'll finally be able to be content. When that happens, then I'll finally be able to be content. We've got to quit living like that. It's time to be content now. It's time to be happy now. The time to rejoice and have a life filled with joy is now. Why? Because Habakkuk tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. It's important that we have joy. It's important that we enjoy our life because we find strength and refreshment in the best things from God. Amen. And we can't find that if we're constantly comparing or judging or trying to get to something else. If we're constantly trying to get to something else, we can never enjoy the space right. And you might be, I heard a preacher preach a sermon one time, and I've done a riff on it myself. He says, when God closes one door, He opens another, but it's hell in the hallway. And we've got to learn to be content in the hallway. We've got to learn to be enjoying in the hallway, enjoying our life from one point to the next. Don't quit trying to go from one mountaintop to the next. Enjoy the journey in between. And realize that there are things to be learned right now. There are blessings to pour out on other people right now. There's giftings from God. There's plans and purposes from God to do right now. Once I get out of debt, then I'll finally be happy. But enjoy the moment right now. Be content in your life right now. You know, Andy sang that song this morning about It Is Well, and I almost texted him and said, hey, can you sing that this morning? That just kind of really fits with what I'm talking about. But I thought, no, I won't. And then I almost talked to him before church, and then I got wrapped up getting my, it's usually coffee, but today I'm doing water. Hallelujah. And then but God knows how to line things up. And yeah, that song is just a little bitty, you know, oh, it's no big deal. He just sang that song. But God lined that up because it flows right in with what we're talking about today.
Amen.
And in our life, if we will let Him, God will line the little things up to let you know that He's there, to let you know, hey, you're on the right path, to let you know, yes, it's okay to line up my, yes, it's okay to take rest because you're lining your life up with my commandments. Yes, it's okay to say no to these people or this thing or that thing because you're lining your life up with my commandments. Yes, I know you really want to go there, but you know that I don't want you to go there. So thank you for lining up your life with my commands. Enjoy the now. Because if we're constantly looking to be happy somewhere else, we will never be happy. If we're constantly looking to be less stressed somewhere else, we will never be less stressed. If we're constantly looking to something else, we can never see the thing that God has for us to do right now. And there are things for us to do right now. God has plans for you right now. Yes, there's a bigger vision. You know, we have this vision that we want to build an addition onto the building, but there are things that God wants us to do right now before we get there. That's a good goal to look out to and look forward to, but right now, what is God saying for us to do? You have goals and visions. Remember in this awakening series, the first thing we did, where does God see you? Where does God want you? Where does God want to place you? And that's the vision. That's where we're headed. But in the journey, there's work for God to be done, and there are lessons to be learned, and there's alignment that needs to happen. I'm telling you, I never will forget. A couple of winters ago, we were going to see Mamaw and the family up in Malvern. And Dad was driving us in that white truck that's out there. And it had snowed and iced and sleeted and done all kinds of stuff while we were in Malvern. We really should have spent the night. I don't know. I guess they weren't hearing from God on that. But my dad, you know how he used to be, he always thought, you know, we can do this. And so we loaded up in that truck and started on our trek home. And, you know, when you're driving on that slick road, on an iced up, sleeted up road, one little bitty twist in the wheel can send you into a tailspin. We spun that night a few times. There was one time we weren't even 15 miles outside of Malvern. And Dad made a correction with a wheel. And when he did, the truck went down into the ditch, came up around, did like three donuts. I'm not exaggerating. I know y'all think I sometimes, but this was the truth. I was praying. Mom can tell you that. She was in the car. You can talk to her. I was saying, help us, Jesus, help us, Jesus. Just nobody talk, we all pray. That's what I was doing. Stop talking, we're praying. All because he made one little bitty twist of the wheel, the whole vehicle got spun out of line. And many times in life, when we're looking to something else and some other point, when we're trying to get to point B, we don't realize that God is using the distance between point A and B to get us a little bit closer to His commands. And yes, point A is right here and point B is right here, but you can't just jump over to it. You've got to scoot your life over towards point B. And so don't get discontent in the in-between points. Don't get disquieted in the in-between points. Don't get stressed in the in-between points. Don't wonder, God, where are you at? Why have you left me here in the middle of this desert? Realize that from point A to point B is all kinds of a learning experience to shift your life closer to His commands. Don't become discontent with life. We should never become discontent with where we are. We should always be discontent with who we are. Meaning, we should always be striving to come a little closer to God. We should always be moving a little closer to the ways and the will and the commands of God. Never be discontent with where you are and what you have. Always be discontent with who you are and how you can line your life up closer to God. So in learning to be content, we don't just get stuck in stubbornness. Well, Pastor Kelly said that I need to learn to be content, so I'm just content here, not trying, not doing anything. No, we must grow. We must move in our thinking and in our ways and in our will closer to that thinking, the ways and the wills of God. Look at Philippians 4:10 through 14. I'm going to read it to you in the Message Bible and then in the Amplified Bible. And I'm telling you, I noticed something that I've never noticed in these scriptures before. And this is one of my favorites, and I quote it all the time to the school kids. We'll be doing algebra, and all of a sudden I'm quoting Philippians. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So you can solve that algebra problem. But I've never realized something in these scriptures before, so let's take a look at it. In the Message Bible it says, I'm glad in God. Paul's writing here. Far happier than you would ever guess. Happy that you're again showing such strong concern for me. Not that you ever quit praying and thinking about me. You just had no chance to show it to me. Actually, I don't have a sense of needing anything personally. I've learned now how to be quite content with whatever my circumstances. I'm just as happy with little as with much. With much as with little. I've found the recipe. Y'all know I like recipes. I've found the recipe for being happy whether I'm full or I'm hungry, hands full or hands empty. Whatever I have, wherever I am, I can make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am. I don't mean that your help didn't mean a lot to me. It did. It was a beautiful thing that you came alongside me in my trouble. So, he says in verse 11 of the Amplified, not that I'm implying that I have any personal want. I've learned to be content, satisfied to the point where I'm not disturbed or disquieted in whatever state I am. I know how to be abased and live humbly in straitened circumstances. I know how to enjoy plenty and live in abundance. I've learned that in any and all circumstances, the secret of facing every situation, whether well-fed or going hungry, having sufficiency and enough to spare or going without want, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I'm ready for anything, equal to anything, through Him who infuses inner strength to me. I'm self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. What I've never done before is I've never put verses 11 and 12 with verse 13. And you know, when we read the Bible, the first thing that we do is we look around that verse of Scripture to get it in context, to see what God's really saying. Paul's giving us a secret here. I mean, we quote the mess out of I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But how can we do it? The secret's given in the verse ahead. The secret is learning contentment. That's how we have strength for everything, because we're not wasting all of our strength on things that don't matter. That's how we can be equal to anything and ready for anything, because we're not wasting our strength worrying about what we don't have. That's how we can do all things through Christ, because no matter if we're going hungry, no matter if we have millions of dollars, we have learned to be content and know that stuff doesn't matter. God doesn't mind you having stuff as long as that stuff doesn't have you. And many times we go get so wrapped up in the stuff or in trying to get from point A to point B that we waste all of our energy in worry. We waste all of our energy feeling down and sorry for ourselves because we don't have something that we think that we need. Whether it's something in a relationship, an emotional need, or a physical need, or a financial need or a spiritual need. We get so wrapped up in something that we don't have that we waste all of our strength, all of our energy, all of our everything worrying about that instead of realizing that we can be content. We don't have to be disquieted. We don't have to be disturbed, no matter what our circumstances. And because we're not disturbed by the mess around us, then we can do all things to Christ. And when we put Him first, God takes care of all that stuff. We need to quit wasting our strength on worry. Quit wasting our strength on something that we don't have. And enjoy and thank God and be fully present for the things that we do have. That's how we can have strength for all things. Because we're not wasting energy. You know, when we get all worked up about something, we can't enjoy our time. I had an idea that our in-laws were coming yesterday, but I didn't know exactly when and whatnot, so I kind of straightened up the house. But my mother-in-law, and she'll tell you this, she loves to clean. That's like her gift from the Lord. She does it with excellence. She is phenomenal. I wish she lived closer. I hire her. Because cleaning is not mine, anything from the Lord. I can do it. It's not my gift. And so, when the knock came on the door, I immediately looked around and said, oh my goodness, this place is a wreck. I've been cooking all day. There are dishes. And so they come in, and I'm like trying to straighten up, fill up the dishwasher, you know. One time when they came, they surprised us. And the bathroom wasn't clean. I said, hey, come on in. Josh, come here. Say hi to your parents. And I ran to the bathroom, shut the door, turned on the vent so the noise would be all loud. And I was in there scrubbing and cleaning and trying to get it all together. And for most of the visit that one time, I spent over half the visit trying to clean up my house and apologizing for it not being clean. Now, y'all, it's not bad, but, you know, it's just not, it's not all the way there yet. It's lived in, okay? And so I missed out on the majority of the visit with people that I love and I don't get to see often because I was so concerned about something that I wanted. I wanted it to be clean. I wanted it to be perfect for her when she came. Because I thought, well, she's going to go home and think my son married a slob. Now, I don't think I'm slob, but this is just the thought process that was going in my head. And I was so worried about the house being dirty that I couldn't enjoy the moments that I had with family. Now, I'm not telling you to go home and just let your house happen. You know, we need to take care of our things. We need to be good stewards. But I was so wrapped up in that that I couldn't enjoy that moment then, that relationship-building moment that I have right in front of me. And it's the same thing with God. We get so wrapped up in what we want, how we think things are supposed to look, that we miss out on those relationship moments with God. We need to learn to be content. Now, content isn't an excuse to do nothing. I'm just learning to be content, y'all, so just bear with me. Contentment is not laziness, but it's a mindset that I'm going to enjoy the space that I am in. I'm not going to worry about what I don't have. And I'm going to do everything that God has called me to do and work on lining up my life. That's contentment. 1 Corinthians 7:17. And don't be wishing you were at someplace else with someone else. Have you ever done that? You get it in Walmart. This happens in Walmart a lot, and you wish you were anyplace else with anybody else. There is contentment to be found in Walmart. Enjoy, don't wish you were with somebody else in someplace else. Where you are right now is God's place for you. Live and obey and love and believe right there. Don't think, oh, I can love them if they change. Love them right there. Don't think, oh, I can obey God once I get to this point in my life. No, obey God right there. Don't think, oh, I can live and have and enjoy my life once this happens. No, live and enjoy your life right here. I can believe God if I see this or that happen. Then I'll truly know that this is God's plan and that God is real. No, believe God right here, right now. Now in 1 Corinthians 7, Paul's talking about marriage, and so then he says, God, not your marital status defines your life. But we can insert anything into that scripture. God, not your financial status defines your life. God, not your possessions defines your life. God, not anything else defines your life. Then he said, don't think I'm being harder on you than others. I give the same counsel to all the churches. So quit wishing your life away. Get in God's divine flow right now. Find out what he has for you to do right now. And yes, we look off to point B, but we don't get so wrapped up in it that we don't enjoy the journey of lining our life up to get to point B. God has called us to keep going, even if no one else goes with us. Keep going, even if no one else goes with us. Back where Paul was talking in Philippians chapter 4, he said, I'm very happy in the Lord now that you have revived your interest in my welfare after such a long time. That's verse 10. You were indeed thinking of me, but you had no opportunity to show it. Even if people don't show to us what we need for them to show to us, we still keep going with God. Paul didn't give up just because the church that he had been speaking to and didn't do anything to help him. Though none go with me, still I will follow. What's that old song? Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. I can thank my mom and dad for knowing all these old songs. But though none go with me, Paul's like, I'm glad that you renewed your interest in me. But whether I went hungry or whether I had a four-course meal, I went on with God. And that's how we have to be. Whether people do what we think they ought to do or not, we still go on with God. We still do the things of God. We still line our life up with God. Then he said in verse 14, but it was right and commendable and noble of you to contribute to my needs and to share my difficulties with me. So he's saying, it was good that you helped me out. It was good that you bore my burdens with me. But whether or not you did doesn't change the fact that I am content. And I will go on with God. And I will do what God has called me to do. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. 2 Corinthians 12:10. So for the sake of Christ, I am well pleased and take pleasure in infirmities, insults, hardships, persecution, perplexities, and distresses. Woo! That's a lot of bad stuff. For when I am weak in human strength, then I am truly strong, able, and powerful in divine strength. See, when we exhaust our own self, that's prime opportunity for us to rely on the grace and the strength of God to be able to do what he's called us to do. God has called us to receive help when it's needed and offered. We need to to learn to receive help from God. So in this contented life, it's a life where we receive from God and we can receive from others. Proverbs 3, 5 through 12 in the Message version, it says, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything that you do. You know that's so important? Listening for God's voice in every single thing that you do. Everywhere you go, He's the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. I'm working on that. I kind of feel like I have a good idea of what should be done and how to do it. And if you don't think I do, you can just ask me and I'll explain it to you. But don't assume that you know it all. Many times we do that with God. We assume that we know everything about God. We assume that we know everything about the Bible. Run to God. Run from evil. And remember when we talked a few weeks ago about studying the Word of God, we talked about looking at it with fresh eyes, not with, oh, I've heard this before. But having open eyes, ready to see new things, new revelations that God has for us. Like that verse of scripture that we talked about earlier. I don't know how many times I've quoted, read, and looked at Ephesians chapter 4. But I never equated those verses of scripture as having a connection and going together until this week. I've been looking at the Bible since before I was born. God wants us to look at life with fresh eyes, not to assume that we know it all. Run to God. Run from evil. Your body will glow with health. Your very bones will vibrate with life. Honor God with everything you own. Give Him the first and the best. Your barns will burst. Your wine vats will brim over. But don't, dear friend, resent God's discipline. Don't sulk under His loving correction. It's the child He loves that God corrects. A father's delight is behind all this. So we need to learn to receive help from God. When God offers us correction, when He offers us guidance, when He offers us a way to go forward, we need to learn to receive. Learn to listen. Have you ever met somebody that's not teachable? You try your hardest. You see the train wreck coming. And you're like, stop, don't do that. You're going to mess it up, stop. And they just go on and you're like, well, I'm just going to sit back and watch this stuff happen. Many times we do that with God. God sees what's ahead. He knows the end from the beginning. And He's guiding us and giving us instruction on how we can go the best path for our life. Receive help from God. Receive help from God. Matthew 6, verses 30 through 34. If God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most of which are never seen, don't you think He'll attend to you and take pride in you and do His best for you? What I'm trying to do here is get you to relax, not to be so preoccupied with getting, so you can't respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way He works fuss over all these things, but you know both God and how He works. Steep your life in God reality. I really like that. Don't look at the reality of man and the situation of the world, but steep your life in the reality of God and what He has and what His plan and His reality is for your life. Because when you start lining up your life with God's commands, people will go, oh, you're so crazy. Why didn't you just slap that girl when she said that to you? Well, I'm working. So don't get caught up in the reality of your situation and the reality of what everybody's trying to tell you, but steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Give your entire attention to what God's doing right now. Don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. I like that. Give your entire attention to what God is doing now.
give your entire attention to what God is doing now. Don't get worked up about what may or may not happen. Why? Because God is with you. He will help you. He will walk your life out with you. Don't worry about missing out. Many times we get discontent in life and we can't find a spot where we can be happy and enjoy things because we're so worried that we're missing out. Well, if I don't go to that party with my coworkers, then I might miss something. But God might be saying, come away with me. I'm going to talk to you for a while. Well, if I don't have my kid in every class going, I might miss something. But what will we miss if we don't take time to teach our children the ways and the things of God? Don't worry about what you might miss out if you slow your life down to God's pace. Don't run the rat race of life. Slow your life down to His speed and what He is doing. Get in line with Him. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. And if we fill our lives with stuff, and I'm not saying that extracurriculars are a bad thing. I was in piano. I did softball, you know, and I still grew up living for God. Baseball isn't bad. You know, extracurriculars aren't bad. Fun adventures aren't bad. Going out and hanging out with your coworkers isn't bad. But when it becomes to where you cannot give your attention to God, then it's time to reevaluate and say, what is most important? What is the best yes right now? So receive help from God and receive help from me. Galatians 6, 2 through 3. Bear, endure, and carry one another's burdens and troublesome moral faults. And this way you fulfill and observe perfectly the law of Christ the Messiah and complete what is lacking in your obedience. If any person thinks of himself to be somebody too important to shoulder another's load when he's nobody, he deceives himself and disludes and cheats himself. So what is God saying to us here? Help one another. Bear one another's burdens. Be there for one another. And when we get so much stuff in our schedule that we can't make time to bless other people, there's a problem. When we get so much stuff in our schedule that we can't take time to share about Jesus with other people, then there's a problem. When we get so much stuff in our schedule that we can't get alone with God and escape with Him, then that's where it becomes a problem. Be available to help other people. Be available to receive help from other people. You can have all that God has for you. And you're not going to be missing out one bit. Isaiah 26, 3 through 4. You will guard and keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is and character is stayed on you. Because he commits himself to you, he leans on you, he hopes in you confidently. So trust in the Lord, commit yourself to him, lean on him, hope confidently in him forever. For the Lord is an everlasting rock, a rock of ages. Look at Philippians 4, 4 through 9 as we get ready to close this morning. I'm going to read it to you in the Message version. It says, celebrate God all day, every day. What would happen in our lives if we just made up our minds to celebrate God all day, every day? How would our life change? If we just made that one simple decision, I will celebrate God all day, every day. When people cut me off in traffic, I'm going to celebrate God. When people are mean to me and say all kinds of bad things against me, I will celebrate God. When I did not get the promotion that I thought I should have, I will celebrate God. Amen. When my wife is being mean to me and sticking me over in the doghouse, I will celebrate God. When my husband isn't doing everything I ever did tell him to do, I will celebrate God. What would happen if we made made the decision in our everyday life to celebrate God all day, every day, even if they got your order wrong at the Sonic, what would happen? And then he goes on to say, I mean, revel in him. Get excited about him. Make it as clear as you can to all that you meet that you're on their side, working with them and not against them. Help them see that the master is about to arrive. He could show up at any minute. Remember, we've been talking about how we're living in the last days, and it's so important that we bring other people to Christ, that we share the gospel with others, that we have those tough conversations with our family about their eternal place. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Sometimes we take on prayer as an opportunity to worry to God. Yes, we make our petitions known to God. But we don't just sit and go over and over and over in it in our mind, God, it's so bad, 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 help me, help me, help me. My dad has a great teaching on prayer, and we might have some back there at the back. It's called Framing Your World with Prayer. And once you make your request known to God, this is how you can still make requests known without praying word. You make your request known to God, and then you praise God for the answer. You don't just keep on mulling it over and over and over and over and over. You make your request known, and then you praise.
Right.
You make your request known, and then you praise. You don't worry about it. You don't roll it over in your mind. And this is something that I have to work on, because I'm a thinker. And I need to think every option through and how this could affect that. And if this happens, have a plan B and a plan Q and a plan Z and a plan double E. You know, I need these things. And yes, it's good to be a planner, but in that, make elbow room for God and make sure that your plans are His plans, not your own. So, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let your petitions and your praises shape your worries into prayers. Letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. And that's what I found. When we allow the peace of God to rule our hearts, then the Holy Spirit comes and settles everything down. Yeah. And we don't have to be discontent. We don't have to worry. And we can let the peace of God rule our hearts and our minds. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. And a life of contentment is when God is displacing worry. Summing it all up, friends, I say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on true and noble and reputable and authentic and compelling and gracious and the best, not the worst. Think on the beautiful, not the ugly. Things to praise about, not things to curse about. Put into practice what you've learned from me, what you've heard and saw realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into His most excellent harmonies. He will work things out for us if we will allow Him to work. But when we live a discontent life, we are stifling God to move in our own life because we're so caught up in what we don't have, that God can't do anything and we can't do anything with what we do have. Little is much when God is in it. In Isaiah 60, at the last verse of the chapter, he says, a little one shall become a thousand and the Lord will hasten it in his time. God will work everything out if we will let Him work. And by letting Him work, it's not us being lazy. It's us lining our life up with Him and His way and His commands and being content whether our hands are full or our hands are empty. Learning to be content. Learning to awaken to a contented life in Christ. Let's stand. God, we thank you.
Thank you for joining us for Life Church broadcast today. We want to hear from you. You can write to us at Post Office Box 1004, Monticello, Arkansas 71657, or you can call us at 870-460-0829. Also, check out our new website, www.getlife.co. That's www.getlife.co. There you can find our pastor's sermon notes and see what we're doing all around the world as well as at home. We would love to have you in service with us. Come check us out at Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. or Tuesday evening prayer at 7 p.m. and we would love to see you there. We're located at 910 Old Warren Road, right in Monticello, Arkansas. Now remember, go this week and live to make God look good. God bless you till we're with you again.